CliffCentral.com.
All right, let's get to Anthea now. Let's see what's going on in the money. Are you ready, Anthea?
I am.
Oh, she's good.
So fired up this morning.
Here you are on a Monday morning. All right, so how are you, Anthea? First of all, how was your weekend?
My weekend was okay. Caught up with some friends. Very good, actually.
Very nice.
Post Friday's 1.5% in the market. Very good, actually.
Wasn't that nice?
Oh, it was very nice. Good.
I just couldn't stop looking at that screen. I was so excited.
You are addicted, aren't you, Jared?
I'm totally addicted. So I just saw green and I was so happy.
What a pleasure. Even Brait was up, eh?
I know.
2%. Who would have thought? Did you see the resources, though? My goodness. Kumba was up 7.5%. Anglo American, 4.5%. I mean, geez. Okay, gold were down a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But the rest of the shares, and actually, just generally, the market was quite buoyant. Global markets were higher. We had some nice data coming out of the UK. And then, of course, Trump talking about his phenomenal tax change or whatever he called
it. What was that? What's that all about?
Basically,
I didn't understand.
Yeah, so basically he's saying that he will cut corporate tax from 35% to 15%. And all that means is that he'll increase corporate profits. If you just take it like that, like flat out, you know, cutting corporate tax to 15% from 35. Actually, I think what he doesn't realize is that after 10 years, he will add $7.2 trillion to U.S. national debt. So this he doesn't understand. He'll increase it by 50%, basically.
Oh,
I mean, if it's tax neutral and he manages to get tax in from somewhere else, it really is a balancing act. Okay, nobody likes to pay tax. And I was reading something really interesting this weekend about why we need government and why we shouldn't pay one single cent more of tax than we actually need to.
Right.
But if government can't manage, can't balance the income, like what they're getting in from their tax and what they're spending, then of course taxes, like with us, it'll just keep going up.
Oh, good for you.
Well, the point is exactly that. You've got to manage what you've got properly before you ask for more. Imagine a child who keeps dropping its ice cream, keeps coming to you to buy a new ice cream.
Yeah, and
oh, but I dropped that one. You dropped the last five, Johnny. There's something wrong with you.
Well, in 9 days' time, we're going to have exactly that, aren't we?
Well, you may just have what you saw on the field with Orlando Pirates happening with ordinary people in this country who are sick to death of being taxed by a government who are abusing the tax money.
Indeed. Anyway.
All right. So what else is going on?
So as I was saying, global markets quite much higher. The UK, even after their kind of Article 50 was approved, they came out with some really good economic data. So despite Brexit, they do seem to be going okay. And the pound strengthening, you know, with pre-Brexit, it was 143, and then it went all the way to 121. It's about 125 now. By the way, do you know that they call the pound dollar cable?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so the exchange rate, like in market slang, we don't say the dollar-pound exchange rate like we say the rand-dollar exchange rate. We call it cable. And the reason for that is because they laid submarine cables in the 19th century, and the first cable, the dollar-pound transaction, was done by this underwater cable in 1866. Bit of useless information.
Wow, okay, well, that's very interesting. Cool. Yeah. See, now I can sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so when people ask you about an exchange rate, you go, do you want to know what cable is?
Great.
Just talk about cable
I'm going to drop that in.
And then our retailers were quite strong on Friday as well, except for Dis-Chem, which was down about 4%. So they released their first sales update since they've listed. Retail turnover was up 14.3%, which sounds fine, but actually inflation was about 9 point something. So you know, effectively organic inflation or increases or increase in turnover was only about 5, probably 6, because it's not a perfect
relation. Are we disappointed?
We are disappointed a little bit, yes. They opened 8 new stores. They're saying they're going to open 21 in their full year 18 results, which I'm not sure when exactly their year end is, actually. So if this was the half, it would be probably September. They didn't give much information, but it's not incredible. I mean, it's a share price that is being driven really by a lot of sentiment, and I'm not sure the fundamentals are that great, but everybody knows Dis-Chem, everybody loves Dis-Chem,
and so they
buy the shares.
Well, they sell medicine cheap and all that cosmetic stuff and all the personal hygiene stuff and...
So like a one-stop shop, really,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The aisles are wide.
Right,
unlike
exactly.
Clicks, which is a little bit cramped. That's how I feel when I go into them anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, according to people who shop regularly there, they seem to think that the prices are good too.
Okay, I'll take their word for it.
Right.
And then also we had ArcelorMittal reporting full year earnings, or I shouldn't say earnings, because it was a loss on Friday. This was an odd one. The share was almost 1% higher.
Hmm.
And yes, they are reporting a loss, but I think we've just expected so little from them in the past. So I looked at the share, how it's done over kind of the 5 years. And 5 years ago, it was a 60 Rand share. It's now a 13 Rand share, although in the last year, it's up 73%. Whether we should be buying the share or not, I'm not sure, right? They still think that end user demand will be low, and they're worried about it. They still think there's an oversupply globally. South African economy, infrastructure not growing, so no demand for steel. It's really such a difficult one to call, because they could increase, but from a really low base,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you could see a nice increase. And the loss really came from impairments, so 4.2 billion rand in impairments and a 2.5 billion rand in fines and restructuring changes. So, you know what, I'm actually just going to wait and stay away from it a while. And it still has negative free cash flow for this year, so not very exciting from that point of view, even though the shares run 73%.
Well, listen, I mean, good for them. I don't. If you say we're not ready to buy yet, then we're not ready to buy yet. I'll take your word for it. How about Ital Tile?
Yes, so this is a stock I really like. It's not in our model portfolios because it's really an illiquid share.
Yeah, you said it's very hard to come by.
Exactly. And the other problem is that they've still got the ceramic industries deal hanging over their head. So they currently own 20% of ceramic industries. They're bidding for another 76%. And the Competition Commission are saying, first they said no, and then Ital Tile went back and said no, but we can, you know, change things a bit and make it more conducive to or palatable for the Competition Commission. So I think in mid-March is when they're looking for another final kind of outcome on this. Really not a bad result, though. Group turnover, 3.5 billion rand, up 14% from the previous year. The problem is, and this is interesting, is that because the rand has been so strong, they've seen a lot of imports from competitors. And so, again, like the steel business, there seems to be this almost oversupply in the market. And so even though I actually really like this share, I'm a bit worried about kind of no GDP growth in South Africa and
right.
this oversupply. They did say, though, pretty much like we've been saying the whole of last year, is that actually people are still improving their homes. So there's still kind of home improvements going
sure.
on, which is great. Something else that was interesting that I noticed in their results, Gareth, is that their staff share scheme, which they started in 2013, vested in August 2016 last year. And out of the total of 334 employees that qualified for the vesting for this period, so obviously it's like a rolling thing because somebody who joined after 2013 only got their shares vested later on.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was the first one. Only 42 employees opted to receive shares, and the balance of 292 employees took the cash.
Yeah, so, but people are stupid.
Yeah, it's, and I get that
people are so dumb. They just want the cash right now. They can't delay gratification just a few months.
Exactly, right? It's such a shame. The average payout after tax was 204,000 rand per individual. That's the average. In total, they paid out almost 60 million rand in share options. I mean, so kind of. It was
can you imagine what those shares will be worth, though?
In 10 years, can you?
Yeah,
a lot more. Oh, absolutely.
Dummies.
Yeah.
Only 40-odd people kept the shares, 200 and something.
92 didn't, took cash, eh?
Dumb.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about...
You need to change this.
Let's talk about investment styles quickly, because we haven't spoken about hashtag invest for a little while.
Yeah, and I keep getting asked about this, actually. So the first thing I want to point out is the difference between saving and investing. So if you're saving for something in 3 months' time or 6 months' time, then what you want is capital preservation, a yield, so you can go to the bank or you can get a deposit, or you can put it in the conservative portfolio. But understand that when you're investing, you will be prone to volatility. And that's why we always talk about it long term.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I think people don't understand is, even though I say, you know, this is a long term investment, 5 to 10 years, hopefully 20 to 30 years, is that actually your money is liquid. So you can get your money out kind of in 3 days, if you like. So you just sell down your portfolio. So if you have an emergency, you can, but try not to. That's kind of the one thing. And then I've been asked about what my investment style is. And they are there are three investment styles. So Warren Buffett is very much like a value investor. He goes out and looks for stocks that are undervalued, but it may take a long time for the value to come through. So he does not want to pay a premium or slightly more for the stock in the hope that it'll go up. He wants to buy a stock that is absolutely dirt cheap. The problem with these is that they can stay dirt cheap for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes in cycles. You know, as the economy goes, so do investing styles. But I much prefer a growth style. So what you're looking for is a company that exhibits signs of above average growth.
Right.
Even though the share price can be a little bit expensive. So think of Naspers. So there's a stock that is growing well in excess of kind of your average growth per annum in not only in the sector, but in the country or on the stock exchange. But it's on a 75 times multiple. Like, and that just makes my eyes water. Like, to buy a stock like that is hard to do. It looks expensive. But actually, the fact that it just keeps growing, you kind of have to close your eyes and do it. You wouldn't do that with absolutely every single stock. And then the third one is momentum investing. So this is buying a share that has already run a little bit, hoping that it'll continue running. In other words, that it has a trend and it has a momentum. The problem with that, of course, is that you're buying relatively high on a share price valuation with a hope that it'll increase. Again, kind of a nice bias. And then almost you're selling low, because you're selling once, if you're holding the share and it falls, you're suddenly selling it when it's fallen.
Yeah.
I don't really, I mean, I get the momentum.
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, but the only share it really makes sense for is Naspers.
Yeah.
Because that was really a momentum play, wasn't it? Like it just,
absolutely.
Even though it was expensive, just kept on going.
All right. So different investment styles. Everybody obviously has a different take on this, but you've explained your position quite nicely.
We're growth with a hint of momentum.
There we go. And obviously there are four portfolios you can go and have a look at. Lots of people already have if you're interested in investing now. I was talking to one of my friends over the weekend. I didn't know, but she's taken out one of the hashtag invest portfolios.
Do you know which one?
Aggressive.
Oh, okay. People like the aggressive portfolio because it's a pure share portfolio.
Yes.
And it's the excitement of having the shares. And that hopefully will be the one that does well over the longer term.
But she was saying that she's taken it out and she thinks it will be the kind of thing that she wants to, in 20 years' time, be able to use for her child's education.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what I want.
Correct. So if you want to do this, then all you need to do is go along to the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com and you'll find all the info there that'll guide you through putting your own portfolio into action. Very cool.
Thank you very much, Gary.
All right, Anthea. Thank you. Cliffcentral.com.